It's now 10:13 and the board has returned to the meeting from executive session. Dr. Bastillo will do a roll call of board members and staff to ensure everybody is still present. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Here.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton? Mr. Barton, you didn't, that wasn't audible. We can't hear you.
No.
It looks like you're still on mute.
Now is that working?
Yes.
Okay. I had to cycle through the mute button, I guess. I'm here.
Thank you. Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Ms. Sinish.
Here.
Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Bryant.
Here.
My name is Judy Chepius, and I do see that Mr. Harris is also with us. Dr. Bastillo, the meeting's yours.
Okay, the board is still in deliberations on case 2383, Matthew Nyberg.
Dr. Bastillo and the board, I am
I think we cut them off before they got to make their closing statements. I just wanted to make sure. I think that's where we're at, Dr. Bastillo.
Thank you very much. Ms. Bivens, or Mr. Nyberg, would you like to make a closing statement?
I will briefly with my microphone on. I would just like to make sure that I am being very clear that the Dr. Perkins report is pretty comprehensive. And to the extent that board members have not had an opportunity to review the scope of Dr. Perkins' analysis, I would direct your attention to the thoroughness with which Dr. Perkins opines on what was going on with my client that gave rise to these behaviors. Because as board members have touched upon, there was overlap in these relationships and there was more to it than just poor judgment with a boundary. This was a personal issue that my client was going through relating to how he approached relationships generally. And those are the changes that have been addressed prior to the continuing education that he sought out to clarify specifically what is he supposed to better understand about the profession. And that's why we do come before you and say these are historical and we can know they were historical because the root of those issues were personal for my client, and that's what he had addressed through counseling, and that's what Dr. Perkins' recommendations really target. They target not only that he could benefit from the continuing education, but also just counseling so that he could understand what is his relationship and how he's relating to these events in his life. So that is the one thing I'd like to just make sure that I am not, that the board members are not overlooking in their analysis, and I don't think that there's anything else I'd like to highlight unless my client would also like to make a statement.
No, I don't have anything else to say. Thank you.
Thank you. And Kelly, you were...
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that, council knows that I thoroughly read the psych evaluation and the summary from Dr. Perkins. And he does state that there are patterns of behavior that while Mr. Nyberg has made some changes, this has gone on for a long time. And he didn't seem to have any idea that it was inappropriate, which is why he had so many different patients and almost used his patients as a pool for dating. So I'm really concerned. I don't, you know, he took this in January. We're only in March. You know, so a person can't make the changes in 3 months. Sorry. Doesn't happen that quickly, especially with behavior patterns that are as deep as these were. So I have really some grave concerns about his continued practice period, but specifically practice in home health and any residential area where it's just him one-on-one with a patient or even in a small group. I mean, we've seen these things happen even in a gym. right? So the gym doesn't really give me a lot of confidence either, because those conversations are personal and private, even in a really large setting. So I just am concerned that Mr. Nyberg waited until council advised him to actually get serious about taking some courses in education. He didn't seem to know that he was having unethical issues with his patients. And so this, for me, just for 3 months of change is not satisfying. And so I am hoping that the board takes this seriously. He had a lot of victims, and the victims have been traumatized, as you would be. I'm very concerned about him as a practitioner. That is all.
So I agree, Dr. King. I mean, I'm concerned. I see, you know, I think there's no question there was a violation here. I see patients that have been harmed. That all is concerning to me, and in my mind rises to the level of discipline. I don't know. I mean, I get it. And, you know, if Mr. Nyberg is turning his life around, which it's, you know, the evidence we have suggests he's trying to do that, I'm very glad to hear that. But I'm concerned about the safety of the patients at this point. I'm concerned about, you know, the other, you know, I'm concerned about the future. And the home health, the mostly independent setting, the ALF setting does worry me. So, yeah, I agree. This is very, very concerning to me.
Yeah, I'm concerned with the fact that this went on for as long as it did, mm-hmm. with multiple patients, simultaneously with multiple patients, mm-hmm. And the fact that he's working in a home health setting right now, you know, that leaves it very open to the fact that this could potentially happen again. As you both mentioned, I appreciate that he's trying to, you know, fix this and, you know, get his life together. But I mean, this isn't rocket science. Like this is very obvious that this was something you should not be doing as a practitioner. Yeah. So I'm having a very hard time with it.
Well, and Giovanni, I think to point out too that him trying to get his life together is almost a panic move of survival, right? He's got a complaint. Yeah. He's got several complaints against him. His license is at risk, and so he's panicked. It's not that he recognized internally he was, right, crossing the line and behaving inappropriate with his patients. It came to light, and now it's like a survival mode, which, you know, yeah. For me, doesn't really speak to his internal barometer of what's right and wrong.
Exactly. And, you know, consensual, not consensual, the fact of the matter is these patients are all victims.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It just is what it is.
Yep.
Yep.
And to your point, Kelly, about even in a gym situation, I feel like he should not be seeing people individually, certainly in an apartment or a home situation. You know, what do we do about any patient situation, even when there are other people around?
Yeah, I agree with you, which I think maybe we might think about just as we're discussing, you know, ideas, either limiting practice, not just to home health, but no female patients. Or a female patient with a chaperone, mm-hmm. Right? Because for a given period of time, until mm-hmm. he's able to demonstrate that he can appropriately treat women, you know, female patients without seeing them as potential love interests.
Right. Well, and to one of his comments too is like, you know, exchanging phone numbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, can a chaperone do that? Or
right. Yeah. We have lots of practitioners in our field who don't share phone numbers, their personal cell phone numbers with their patients. Do you know it's doable to practice without a personal cell phone? exchange.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I mean, I would just like to throw out a potential interim consent agreement where he doesn't treat in-home health or residential care and doesn't treat female patients until we figure, you know, till the board gets things ironed out.
I second the motion, and I don't want to explain my second a little bit. I don't disagree with Dr. King. I think if we can provide him with a safe way of demonstrating that he's learned something from the education he's taken in the last 3 months, I think that's a win for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very concerned about, you know, I too read that psychosexual report in great detail, and I don't think it's as definitive as counsel suggests. I think it suggests that he's safe to practice if there are appropriate safeguards in place. Mm-hmm. And so I would agree with the motion. I also think, for the licensee's benefit, this is important to get a deal done where we can assure that the public is safe, and yet he can prove to us that he's learned from the course that he has taken that he's safe to practice.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him continue, like even continue counseling outside of the probie follow-ups, and chaperone or no female patients, one or the other. I prefer no female patients without a chaperone, honestly, to be honest with you, given the amount, just given the historic behavior for so many years. So I don't know how to put all that into, I guess I'd have to have help with that, but an interim consent agreement, and then we need to do an actual consent agreement, but I think that his behavior and his practice setting needs to immediately be restricted. He's not safe. So I don't know how should we put that? Leave that to those who are good at wordsmithing.
So I think the correct plan here is to do some kind of a restrictive practice. I think maybe what we do is I'm wondering if maybe we enter a temporary order that there be no treatment without a chaperone present, and then instruct our staff to offer a consent agreement that addresses the concerns that we have stated here, and you know, restricts the right to practice until there has been some kind of steps here to fix these concerns. That would be my motion.
So, and if I may, Mr. Barton, members of the board, just to clarify, what I'm hearing.
I was really hoping you would jump in, Mr. Harris. So.
what I heard you say was to have staff offer Mr. Nyberg a interim consent agreement that would include the terms that he would not be able to provide any home health care services, and that he could only treat female patients with a chaperone. And in the interim, direct staff to work out a final consent agreement with counsel that would include all of those provisions plus the continuation of counseling until such time that he can demonstrate to the board that he is safe to treat in the home setting and female patients. Is that kind of a fair summary?
I think that's fair, Mr. Harris. And I think I said we should issue a temporary order, but it actually dawns on me as you're speaking, I don't think we can.
Yeah.
Because this is not an informal hearing.
Yeah.
And so
So yeah, I
think that would be
great. And if for some reason he doesn't sign the ICA, we will immediately let you know, and the board can then take whatever action it deems appropriate based upon that.
Yeah, and I would be clarifying, you know, home health or residential, because sometimes the assisted living facilities aren't necessarily considered home health. And so any space that someone's living where he's going into the space they live should be restricted. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll defer to Mindy and Liz and Judy to help in that area.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so
the chaperone would need to be board approved.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I
think so, but I would be I'm more concerned about getting the chaperone in place than I am about getting it board approved.
Well, and I would say that no female patients until he gets a board approved chaperone. I mean, there's plenty
It'll take some time as we've seen in the past. It does take some time to get that in, for the licensee to get that in order.
Right. Yeah.
As we've also seen, I don't know if you want to restrict the type of chaperone he's going to have.
I'm just more concerned that he's got an issue with power differential already. And so if we don't guide who the chaperone would be, we don't know who he'll choose, right? And if we don't know who he chooses, then we don't know that the patient's actually even safer than they were when they didn't have a chaperone, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I believe the board does have some, and Mindy helped me, some standard language in that area regarding board approval, and the ICA can certainly be drafted so that he's not able to treat female patients until there is a board approved chaperone in place.
Okay. That would certainly be my preference in the motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the ICA. Yep.
So is Mr. Barton's motion the motion that we're going with then? Or is it an extension of Dr. King's motion?
Did I mess things up? I think we.
I had a motion, and I think Josh.
You did, yeah.
Motion. Mm-hmm. So we can. I just amended to capture all of the discussion would be perfect.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a friendly amendment. I don't see any difference.
Perfect.
So. And Jack, would you like to second that then?
I will second Dr. King's motion.
Thank you.
So I remove Mr. Greer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that there was the second. I apologize.
Yeah, Mr. Greer.
I'm fine with whatever happens. I approve.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we're ready for the question, Judy.
And I hope this is not convoluted. So, Mr. Harris, feel free to jump in and make corrections to what I'm about to say. So it has been moved and seconded in case 2383 Matthew Nyberg, PT, to offer an interim consent agreement that restricts his practice to prevent any practice in home health or a residential setting, and that he is restricted from treating female patients unless done with a chaperone. The chaperone will be approved by the board, and he will be prevented from female patient treatment until that chaperone is in place. Then, in the meantime, offering a consent agreement that adopts all of the measures in the interim consent agreement and to include therapy as well until such time that through that therapy, Mr. Nyberg can demonstrate that he is safe to practice.
And Judy, did there need to be like a probationary, like a period of time in that consent agreement? Of therapy and chaperoning and things like that.
Are we talking about the final consent agreement?
Mm-hmm.
There will be, okay. And that'll be something that'll come back to you for your final approval.
Great. Thank you.
And, you know, yeah. Are you okay with that, Judy?
Yeah. So this part is the actual consent agreement is just for staff to draft it and sort of work through that process and return that draft to the board for final approval.
Thanks.
Adoption. Did I miss anything in that motion?
If not accepted.
Oh, if he doesn't sign the interim consent agreement, we'll be returning that to the board directly for the board's next steps.
I don't mean to interrupt the process. I just have a clarifying question so that I understand what the interim consent agreement would contain. Is the practice restriction on no home health, does that persist even if he gets a board-approved chaperone to attend those sessions? I just want to clarify that it's no home health even with a board-approved chaperone. Okay, I'm seeing nodding heads, so I think I understood. Thank you.
Okay. I believe that's the case. Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay.
Can I make one, I just want to clarify one thing, in the proceedings. I believe when we were speaking to the, witness, we referred to her as P3. That should have been P2. So just for Monica for the meeting minutes, I just don't want, the witness to be confused, for any future reference.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
P2. Mindy, that's P2 that was engaging in answering the board's questions.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we can move on here to case 2384, Noah Abrahams, PT.
All right. This complaint was filed by patient AH, who alleged that Mr. Abrahams inserted needles up and down both of her legs and spine, puncturing her right lung and causing a pneumothorax at her 69th physical therapy session on April 13th, 2022. It is alleged that Mr. Abrahams failed to recognize the symptoms of a pneumothorax and failed to recommend that AH seek medical attention. He's represented by Cody Hall. Mr. Hall and Mr. Abrahams received a copy of the investigative report, but did not submit a supplemental written response. The potential violations identified in the investigative report for your consideration include ARS 3220444, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. ARS 3220445, failing to demonstrate professional standards of care and training and education qualifications as established by the board rule in the performance of dry needling when provided as a therapeutic modality. And ARS 3220420, failing to maintain adequate patient records. For the purpose of this paragraph, adequate patient records means legible records that comply with board rules and that contain at a minimum an evaluation of objective findings, a diagnosis, the plan of care, the treatment record, a discharge summary, and sufficient information to identify the patient, and as it relates to R-424-304, adequate patient records. This matters for your review. And as I said, Mr. Abrahams is represented by Cody Hall, who I believe is on the call. And I believe patient AH had told me she would be on the call. I see initials with that match, so I don't know if that's her or not.
Is patient AH on the call?
Hello, I am here. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Do you have a statement or an opening statement that you would like to make to the board that would be different than what we've already read?
I would thank you guys for your time. My goal and the reason why I'm here is probably the same shared goal that you all have, and that to make physical therapy as safe and effective as possible. I've been a lifelong athlete and have had PT throughout my life from different therapists. I rely on you all, and I appreciate each of the therapists and this board and taking the matter seriously. So sharing my incident essentially is one step closer for me on the healing path. This has been traumatic for me. I've not in the last, well, since this incident, I've not been able to trust another, therapist, to help me through and continue helping me through my injuries. So my aim and my goal is hoping that as an industry, we learn from this incident and that it does not happen to anyone else. So, So thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you. Mr. Hall or Dr. Abrahams, would you like to make an opening statement?
Mr. Hall, you're muted.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. You just saw my gums flapping. Sorry about that. Members of the board, my name is Cody Hall. I'm here for PT Abrahams this morning. Just a couple of quick comments that wanted to address what really appears to be what I would call the crux of the complaint in this case, which is whether PT Abrahams noted and responded appropriately to being pulled of a potential signs of a pneumothorax. The investigative report concluded that the patient had informed Mr. Abrahams of her symptoms during and after that appointment, but he failed to recognize the symptoms of a pneumothorax and failed to recommend that she seek medical attention. PT Abrahams, as we put in our report in the letter that he has submitted with my approval, that the patient did not, in fact, report any signs of a pneumothorax to him on the day of treatment that he reasonably believed suggested that there was, in fact, a pneumothorax. And that's really consistent with even the patient's complaint. The first real notice that PT Abrahams had that there was a potential pneumothorax was the day following the day of treatment. And I know the board has seen those text messages, and I will address one of those in a minute. But in the complaint, the patient noted that when this dry needling started, and again, not her first session of dry needling, this was her 69th appointment, not all of which were dry needling, of course, but she had multiple sessions. You know, she stated that she heard and felt a strange sensation in her right chest and back. She described it as scar tissue being broken up. The dry needling continued. PT Abrahams left and came back and proceeded to do a back adjustment. When she got off the table to stand, she reports that she felt dizzy, which she says she had never suffered that particular complication or side effect before. PT Abrahams does not recall her stating she was dizzy, but however, he does note that he has multiple patients daily who, after they get up from laying down for so long, dizziness is not an unusual finding. After he left her, she asked a PT tech to have Dr. Abrams come back to see her, and he did. And at that time, she says she complained of feeling, quote, very strange. There's no mention of feeling short of breath, no mention of tightness in her chest, no mention of a racing heart rate. It is his recollection that he did check her vitals, but it's not documented, and we understand that. PT Abrahams, however, did ask the patient whether she was coughing, which in his understanding and education, that is the signal sign of a potential pneumothorax, and she said no. In her complaint, she goes on to state that before she left that day, she did tell a PT tech that she felt short of breath, but she did not report that to PT Abrahams before leaving the facility that day. She sent him a text message a little bit later on that day, again stating that she kind of felt like maybe asthmatic, but she didn't use the terms being short of breath or having difficulty breathing. Now, when she texted him the next morning, which is pretty clear, she told him she was going to see a doctor, and she actually reported in that text message she was short of breath. That was the first time that he believed the patient might have a pneumothorax. Now, his text message back to her at that time is admittedly not the best writing, because he does state that, like I told you yesterday, I thought you had a small, you pivoted during treatment and you had a small pneumothorax. However, he was not stating that he told the patient the day before that he thought she had a pneumothorax. He is saying that he did tell her that he thought she had pivoted the day before. And that's consistent with the patient's complaint, because she admits that at no point did Mr. Abrahams ever suggest to her on the day of treatment that she might have had a pneumothorax. And as we all know, as physical therapists know, a pneumothorax can occur in the presence of reasonable care. So the question really is, was his response appropriate under the circumstances? And I'm submitting, as we did in the letter, that his response was in fact reasonable and appropriate under the circumstances. I know that the patient has raised some concern about the adequacy or the consent form that's used and whether that adequately informed her of the issues. I didn't see any reports in the investigative report other than the fact that it is noted that PT Abrahams did not sign the consent form. So to the extent the board has any concerns about that, the fact of the matter is a piece of paper does not confirm whether a person has provided informed consent. The informed consent is a discussion that occurs between a provider and a patient. And the mere fact that PT Abrahams didn't sign it does not mean he did not have a conversation with her before starting treatment, long before, about the risks and potential benefits of dry needling. While this outcome was clearly not what
Mr. PT Hall, let me interrupt you a little bit. Is there anywhere in the records that's documented that he had a conversation with her regarding informed consent for dry needling?
I do not believe he documented, which typically, informed consent. I don't believe there's documentation of a separate conversation. Real quick, just in closing, while this outcome was obviously not expected, no provider wants to have a patient have an injury, but we do believe that PTA responded reasonably as it unfolded in front of him, and I am asking the board to desist the complaint. In the alternative, I would ask the board to set this for an informal hearing / interview to further discuss any questions or concerns the board may have. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Hall or AH?
I think it could be me. I don't know. So we have Mr. Hall representing Mr. Abrahams and the patient, but the therapist is not here to answer questions. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Cody. Mr. Abrahams was not able to rearrange his schedule this morning, so he was not able to appear. That's the other reason why if the board does have questions, I would request to be set for an informal interview instead.
And Mr. Hall, do you know anything about this patient's admitting or diagnoses at the time of the treatment? Because I mean, one of the things that I'm concerned about is the patient here is complaining that she feels asthmatic. In my review of the records, I don't see anything that suggests she is an asthmatic. And it would seem to me that that is almost definitionally, shortness of breath. And so, those are the kind of things that I'm concerned about that I'm inclined to just push this to an informal hearing so we can ask your therapist about it. But, I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel like you can answer those questions, maybe we can try to resolve it now, but that's kind of where I am.
Mr. Barton, I can tell you, I don't know anything about the medical history because this, typically we see a much larger volume of records in some of these settings, but he was treating her
right.
Privately, for lack of a better term. And so, I don't have any hospital records or a referral from a doctor telling her to come see him with, some type of a medical history involved. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hall. I appreciate that.
Sure.
I don't know how we can resolve this without the therapist here, so I would move that we send this to an informal hearing.
Second.
Can I ask a question really quick in the discussion? So moving it to an informal hearing, given the fact that there are some pretty significant documentation issues, can we request additional medical records from this PT to be looked at by the board investigators? books or perhaps like three records?
To what end, Dr. King? You, just to confirm that this is the practice?
Mm-hmm.
We have 69 visits to confirm.
Well, but she was a personal friend.
Okay.
So here's the factors I've got. She's a personal friend. She was cash pay. So do you know what I mean? Like there may have been short term taken versus
on this case, on another case.
Yeah. So I'd like to see medical records from some other patients he was treating to establish his documentation style and compliance with minimal standards.
And Mr. Hall, feel free to report back to him. I don't think anyone on this board will find that these records meet any minimum standards. I think these are some of the most efficient records I've seen since I've been on the board. I thought I was just looking at a billing sheet, and then I realized that this is all that we have for 69 visits, and it is worrisome. Also, I look at the patient's text message. That implies a conversation that occurred prior to, you know, this wasn't, hey, I'm feeling weird. This is, I'm still feeling weird. And to me, that implies that, hey, we've discussed this before. It's not getting better. And so I'm pretty concerned about what the therapist did in this case. But we'll have to deal with that next time.
Thank you. I will relay your thoughts and concerns.
I'd agree with you, Kelly. I would like to see some additional medical records for an insurance-based patient. I don't see it's going to be any different, but that way we can confirm.
Okay. Great. So, perfect. Thank you for adding that to the motion.
Is there any further discussion on the motion to move to an informal hearing?
Only thing I would note is I know Amy has her hand raised. I think, what I would say is I think we are probably done with our interview questions unless anybody from the board has any additional, but I'll leave that to Dr. Castillo.
Yeah. Any other questions?
AH, do you have something to say that would influence our decision here?
Nothing that would influence the decision.
The decision.
Just the personal relationship.
Relationship.
As friends.
As friends.
I would refer to him from a good friend. But beyond that, I didn't know before becoming his client. So, additionally, I gave the office my insurance. And they just said, let's pay out of pocket.
There's an echo going on. I don't know that the record is picking it up.
Yeah. We'll be able to discuss it more at the informal hearing. Questions about text messages and things like that. So we'll be able to ask you more questions about it then.
Thank you.
And can I get a clarification, please, on the motion? So it's been moved and seconded to move the matter to informal hearing and to direct staff. Did you decide that you want to direct staff to further investigate records and how many records? I missed that part.
Three.
And also, if there's a time frame closer to when she was treated or more recently, can you clarify that for me?
I'm comfortable with three charts. And ideally around the same time would be great.
The same time that this patient was treated?
Mm-hmm.
And both insurance-based?
Maybe one with the patient was being treated and one within the last, that includes an eval, daily notes, and potentially discharge summary, sometime more recently. Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other discussion? Okay, I think we're ready, Judy.
It's been moved and seconded to move case 2384. It's been moved and seconded to move case 2384, Noah Abrams, to informal hearing and to direct staff to review three additional charts of patients treated at roughly the same time as the complainant, as well as one chart from a more recent patient treatment. Dr. Bastia.
Yes.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes. Dr.
I just had to go back out and come back in again, so we finished the vote.
Yes.
Okay, great.
My apologies. Still an echo.
It's me.
Is there any chance we could get a break?
Yes. Okay. I was hoping we would do that now.
It's 10:55 right now. You want a 5-minute break? Dr. Bastia?
Let's do 10 minutes.
Okay.
The board is in recess.
It is 10:55. The recording will stop. The board will be back at 11:05.